Well, this morning I want to share with you the message on rewards for true disciples. I share with you that Jesus never used the word member, he used the word disciple. You know that? What's the difference between member and disciple? You see, the word member, I was a member in many clubs. You know, tennis club, running club. And sometimes we bring down the word member so low to the world. And I think there's time we need to say, God, I'm your disciple. Disciple is very important. And I should mention to you, there's four marks of true disciples. Sometimes I share with you. First of all, you need to put God as our top priority. I just review some of this. Top priority means everything you put on God first. Everything, every single day. The second thing is, have God in your life. You know God is different from knowing God. You know about Him is different from knowing Him. And sometimes we know so much doctrine, so much about His plan of salvation, that sometimes we forgot about knowing Him. How do we know God? Spend time in prayer, devotion. Have a good long walk with Jesus. That's how you live within God. And the third point is, love one another. The Bible says this, if you love one another, then the world will know you are my disciple. See, there's a rare place when God using that. And the last one is, disciple must bear fruit. Okay? God mentioned that very carefully, that bear fruit. Sometimes it took a long time, but it's bear fruit. And those are the four points that I shared sermon a few weeks ago. Today I'm going to share with you that what a reward. Do you like to receive reward? What does reward mean? You must have done something in order to get reward, right? Study hard for your school and the reward is getting an A. Study hard for 4 years, you get a diploma. Reward requires some sacrifice, some time put into it, an effort. If it's not, it's just like a gift. It's not a reward. But God has promised that He will give reward. Turn with me in the book of Revelation. The last book in the Bible and the last chapter of the book of Revelation is chapter 22. Chapter 22 of the book of Revelation. And we look at Verse 12. Revelation 22:12 talk about reward that God had planned for His people. Revelation 22:12 say this, from New King James Version say, and behold, I am come quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work. Jesus come quickly. And what He bring with Him? Rewards. For who? For those who work. If you work more, you get more reward. How do you like that? Now, some people take out of context that, you know, God give reward, God bless everyone. Yes, that's true. But, you know, God also tells us we need to be a true disciple. We need to go out to share the gospel and say rewards we're giving those who work accordingly. There's a woman is a world class runner. She lives in New York City, and in Connecticut, one of the city asked her to come to run in the race, and she glad to do that. And she hang up the phone, and she thought she knew the address. She that particular morning she drove to the race. She got lost. She didn't know how to get there, and she looked at her watch. She said, oh, no, I'm running late. She stopped by the gas station and asked the gas station attendant, say, do you know where the race in front of a shopping mall? And I know it's around somewhere here. And the attendant said, yes, few blocks down the road, there's a race over there. And she ran quickly over there, and she registered. They didn't have her name. Well, she don't want to waste time. She write her name. They give a number. She put on her shirt. And the gun shoot off, and the group run. And as she ran to say, no, these people, it's an easy race. She's going to win this race. Anyway, yes, indeed, she won the race. She came in first. The one person came in second is a male. They came in 4 minutes later. And so she's proud of herself. And the time they call her name, she came in first place. And there's no envelope. There's no reward. There's no money. She kind of surprised. Well, later on she find out she ran the wrong race. Down the street, there's another race. And they have a big reward, and she missed that one. My friend, you and I, sometimes we run on a wrong race today. We run the wrong race. God said we have a race to run. And Paul emphasized we have a race, and reward is very great at the end. And we are running a wrong race. We want to get diploma. We want to get home. We want to be everything's possible to the world standard. And we forgot the main race, which have better and greater rewards. What is the reward? God have tell us. There's five rewards that I would like you to think about. You know, God wants us to live a Christian life. It's not because of the reward. The reward is a bonus. You just come with it. But because it's not the reward, because if I work my way to heaven, I don't think God would like that. If my son comes to me, Dad, I want to wash your car because I think you will give me $10 allowance for that. You think I'm happy? I think I'm probably more happy when suddenly, you know what? I like to have a nice clean car. I want to wash for you, Dad. See, God, that's what God wants. You want to do it because you love God. You want to do it. You want to be part of the kingdom of God, not because you want heaven. You want a big home in the mansion. What are the rewards? But even God said that there's a reward, a special reward. The first one is found in the book of John chapter 14, verse 17. Remember, I bring these five rewards to you, maybe more, but I thought these five rewards maybe is good that we can think about it. John chapter 14. John chapter 14, verse 27. The Bible says, "The peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." God say, "I give you peace." Well, people say, "Well, I have peace. I live in this nice country. I have money. I have a home." But God said, you know, the peace that the world gives you is nothing compared to the peace that God gives you. The peace that God gives you is not depend on possession. The peace that God gives you is not depend on your degree. The peace that God gives you not depend on circumstance. And suddenly you got peace from the Holy Spirit. You have peace. You can have one meal a day that you find peace. You can live in a hut that you can find peace. God promised a peace that no one can give you. My friends, sometimes we live in the world, we compare so much. From internet, from TV, from advertisement, we forgot about. God had promised, "I give you the peace now. Not later, not when you go to heaven. I give the peace now." How can Paul and Silas in the prison, and they already got beat to death, and they still sing hymn? They have peace. I want to have that peace. And I know you do too. That's what God promised. And God reward you the peace that God give you. Another reward found in the book of John, same chapter. Turn a few chapters back with me. John chapter 10, verse 10. John chapter 10, verse 10. And Bible says that the thief does not come except to steal. Satan come to steal and to kill and to destroy. But I come, that's what Jesus said, that they may have life and they may have it more abundantly. Now, I'm struggling with that. What do you mean abundantly when Jesus say that? You know, you say if you go and you don't have, you say that the fox doesn't have hole and a man don't have a pillow and have no place to eat, no place to sleep. How can abundantly? See, the disciples of Jesus have left everything they have and they come with Jesus and they find abundance. Well, I remember the story of God feed 5,000 people. Just imagine have no 5,000 people. 5,000 different sack lunch you give to 12 disciples. That's abundant, is it? It's a lot of food. See, a lot of time we compare abundantly to the world standard. I went one of the mission trip to Vietnam and one of the small village in the center of Vietnam, they only have one meal a day. And so in other words, if you and I have three meals a day, that's abundant. If we have a home to live, compared with people have a hut, that's abundant. My friend, we have abundant. And so why? Jesus promised when we follow Jesus and we're true disciple, we have abundant. You know, sometimes God gives us enough food for every day. God said in the prayer and Lord's Prayer, you know, please give us food one day at a time. See, God don't want to give you so much that you forgot about God. That's sad. You know, if my son turned 18 and I say, son, you know, you turn 18, you graduate from high school, I'm glad you got straight A, let me give you a brand new car. Why do you give a brand new car? Goodbye, Dad. I probably say, I wish that I don't have money to buy that car for you, son, because I don't want to see you. See, Jesus don't want to give us more than we need, because if we have so much, we might leave God. And we might say, well, didn't I did all this? Didn't I provide all this? Didn't I create all this? Didn't I buy all this? Is it me? Is it me? You see? And so we're happy that God give us just enough every single day. You know, I'd rather live day by day to have my soul be saved than have plenty and I'll be lost. The Bible says that if rather you have one arm to go to heaven and have two arms and lost. Rather have two eyes, I mean, rather have one eye to heaven and have two eyes would be lost. He'd rather cut off that hand or pluck off that eyes in order to be saved. I mean, that's strange. Saved from Jesus, but he loved you so much, he wanted you to be saved. Now when you were in heaven, he would give you a perfect life. You would be transformed. You know? That's different. And so God said, you know, the reward I give you is abundant. Don't compare with world standard. Compare with my standard, and you will see. I'm sharing with you, you know. God work in my life and my family life. I see it's abundant because sometimes I worry. God say, no, don't worry. Peace. Financially, God will take care. I don't know how in the world I put my fourth son in Christian school. Probably many people think about that. But you know what? God take care. I don't know. I pray about it. Matter of fact, I should pray more about it to see God's miracle. But you know what God will do? If those who think that you cannot go to Christian college or Christian academy, think twice. Ask God. God will take care. He will take care of everything. He wants you to grow up to be a strong Christian. And if he wants you to do that, he will take care of the rest. Just have faith and believe. You know, sometime that we try to buy everything that the world standard need before we think about a Christian education or even a lifestyle that we can witness for God. What I mean by that, we try to find something to fulfill in our life and later on we don't see in our account, don't have anything left. He said, well, Lord, I don't have the money to give tithe or I don't have money to send my kid to go to school, to Christian academy. My friend, just put God first. Pay tithe first. And if I don't have paid the money for the mortgage, well, God, you say you take care of it. You put God first, and you find that God gives you abundant life, especially on health matter. You know, some people are so rich, and if you just go into surgery, everything they have is gone. And I'm poor, let's say, and I have a perfect health, guess what? You still have a home to live. I actually see people lose their home. They thought they opened a business. They don't have to pay health insurance. They don't buy health insurance. Guess what? They lost their home and lost the whole business. My friend, when we are with God, He will take care of us. He promised He will give us more abundantly. The third point, the third reward, you find in 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. The small little book. If you go too fast, you might lose that book. Okay, that's a few books right before book Revelation. Okay? 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. Okay, my Bible says this. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed on us that we should call children of God. If we are true disciples of Him, we are His children. You know what I mean by that? You and I are prince and princess of kings and lords of lords. You know, we are the child of God. And so we shouldn't walk down and say, oh, no, I'm tired to witness for God. Oh, I have to pay tithe. No, God says, stand up. You are my son. You are my child. Walk like a king. My friend, that's what we are, the children of God. And what does the Bible say? Continue with me. Verse 1. Continue. Therefore, the Word does not know us because it did not know Him. My friend, the Word do not know Jesus. That's why they don't recognize you are prince and princess. They don't recognize. They don't recognize that you have a strong future. They don't recognize you can rule the rule the whole kingdom. My friend, they do not know because they don't have Jesus in them. And so don't be afraid or intimidated. They don't know Jesus. They don't know what you got. They don't know what I have. Because I'm a son of God. More than a son of Obama, you know that? I'm a better son. I have everything that the world are given to me. And when we go to heaven, we have so many angels as our servants and support us. We're a better mansion than the White House, you know that? God said, we are the son and daughter of God. So let live as we were kings, son of kings and son, you know, kings of kings and lords of lords. My friend, that's what we need to live a life. That we should be the most excited people on earth, the most happy people in the world. When people see our happiness shine across the world, they say, I want that. I want your peace. I want the abundant life that you have. How can I attain that? That's the chance you've witnessed for Jesus. You see, that's what people want. If Michael Jackson's still alive, you say, how can I attain that peace? I have all the money. I couldn't find that peace. That's what the world will come after you to find that. You see, that's what happened in the dark age. When they stand for their faith and they die through persecution, and the world will look at that and say, how can you have that peace? How can you have a assurance of salvation? And people run after that. I want to have that type of faith. The more people persecuted, the more people will join the church. The blood of the martyr is the seed to the church. You know that? And God said, yes, live that life. Live it until the world will see. And so do not forget that you are the children of God. Very special people. That's what the reward that God gives you. The fourth point in the book of James chapter 1 verse 12. James chapter 1 verse 12. Okay. What the Bible says, let's just go back right there before Peter's. James chapter 1 verse 12. The third reward is, blessed is a man who endures temptation. And when he has been proved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. God say, if you endure the temptation at the end of the road, he will give you the crown of life. You will not have the crown just like the king today of this earth. You have the crown of life. The crown not just like in the woman pageant, right? Is that what it is? I don't know. I don't even watch that. I don't even know. But this crown is a beautiful crown, so much jewel in it, it's so heavy. God said, I will give you that at the end of the road. But you have to endure what? Temptation. Do you know trial and temptation will help you grow spiritually? If you want to grow strong in prayer life, devotion life, what do you think God will give you? Trial and temptation. So when James saying, when you have trial and temptation, don't worry. Don't worry. Go back into the book of James chapter 1, verse, let me read verse 2. He said, my brethren, count it with joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the test of your faith produce patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If you lack of wisdom, let him ask God, who give all liberally and without reproach, and it will give in to him. God will give you trial and temptation. Sometimes we don't want it. Sometimes we say it's too hard. So God, why you give me this? God promises He will not give you temptation more than you can handle. You know, I remember the day that I helped my son learn to ride on a bicycle. He don't want to ride on a bicycle. I mean, he fell a couple of times, he scratched his knee, he said, oh no, it's so painful. I said, you can do it, son. You can do it. Get on the bicycle. I'm going to help you. I'm going to help you. My hand just right behind his seat and run along on the bicycle. And if he's about to fall, I catch it and help him push him. I would not let him fall down. Jesus, God will not let you fall down. But he want you to push on, go on. And I find out Timothy, when he fell down so many times, next thing he said, Dad, look at me. I can ride. I can ride now. It's the joy over the Christian people when you endure the temptation, my friend. And that is prepare for you and I for the end time. If you and I not prepare now, we will not endure the end time. The tribulation will come so greater than the world never seen before. But he worked with his people. He worked with you and I to prepare for that time. The reward is great. And he say, let try, let work, let prepare. You know, God who could call the whole angels of heaven to spread the gospel throughout the world. But he decided not to do that. And I find out why. You know, sometimes I say, God, you do it, you know, so it makes my life easy. But I'm glad that he chose me and also chose you to be his instrument. If I don't get involved in ministry, I would never, never understand the precious salvation that Jesus died for me. I never understand. You know, one time I shared the gospel with the Catholic people in South Bend, Indiana. And when I shared with him, any word I say, he cursed back to me. You know, this is not true. What do you know about the Bible? And so it's hard to preach when someone stands in the middle. You know, could talk back to you. And I'm glad this church is not doing that. Praise God. Well, I probably say that I'm not a very good preacher. God, don't call me into ministry. That night came and I received a phone call. That very man called me, could you help me? I got drunk in a bar and no one take me home. Can you take me home? I went there. I took us home. I helped him in his bed. I let him sleep. Till next day I come back and visit him. And I remember, he said, thank you. Thank you. That is so much for me. That's where I reflect back the night before, crying out to God, and say, my son, endure. Look upon the cross. I knew behind my bed. I look at the cross in my imagination. I saw people curse at Jesus. spit on him, whip him, and I share with him what I'm going through, that I started to understand what took Jesus to die for me. You see, God engaged you in ministry for you to understand his sacrifice for you. You know, if you go to school and I'm the principal, I give you a diploma without doing any homework, Tiffany, then it's easy. But when you struggle, you study, you got it. Say, wow, it's wonderful. I'm glad that I go through all these hardships. I finally make it. That's what it is. You will never understand how Jesus died for you unless you engage in ministry. I promise you that I will never see that picture unless I go through it. Just like this woman you saw, right? Take 4 years and she's not here. Take 4 years for her to baptize. I pray for her day and night. I throw evangelistic meeting and hopefully she make it and she decides to go somewhere else. Every time we do evangelistic meeting, she's not here. She go to Bible study for 4 rounds and she not committed. Last Sunday, I said, the water is here. What stopped you to be baptized? And the Holy Spirit touched her and said, I want to baptize. I could wait, you know, say, well, maybe next week we throw a baptism and the whole church will see it. I say, no, I'm not going to take a chance. If you say yes, I'm going to put her down the water right away. I'm not going to take a chance for her to come back and say, no, I changed my mind. My friend, that's what it is. A joy for me to see 4 years to see a person converted, you know? That's what a joy when you engage in ministry. God wants you that joy. He don't want the angel took that joy away from you, right? He wants you to have that joy, excitement when you see a person to be saved. Last but not least, it's wonderful that he shared with us here the reward that no God, no other people on this earth can promise that. And that's fine. Well, there's more than one text, but I share with you. The basic one is John chapter 3:16. You guys remember that? For God so loved the world. What else? For that? Come on. Okay, Josh? I mean. Okay, you can stand up. Go ahead and say, for God so loved the world that he, his only begotten Son, whoever believe in him, shall not perish but have what? Eternal life. That word eternal life means so much to me. Many parts of the Bible say eternal life. You know what eternal life mean? Do you feel what does eternal life mean? God wants to live with you forever. I'm going to see my loved one forever. Forever. No sickness, no pain, no death. Eternal life. If you see death in front of you, you see how people suffer. I don't want to go to the hospital to visit another person have terminal illness. That's why eternal life means so much to me. God said, I will give eternal life. God will give you and me eternal life. In the beginning, when he created this world, he created Adam and Eve. And you were, if you were there, that's eternal life for you. Because when God see Adam and Eve sin, he cannot live without them. He cannot live with you without you. That's why he wanted to sacrifice. He rather took eternal death so you can have eternal life. Mine, think about that. That's what the reward is so much. God do everything that secure your place in heaven, eternal life. And that's why the Christian can endure trial and persecution and death. There's greater things to come. They can take your life, but they cannot take your soul. My friend, if you catch the picture, you understand the true disciple, that's what they live for. How can I live in the life that I can see that they will live in darkness and they will die forever? I cannot want to see that. That's why it motivates us to share the gospel with them that they also can have eternal life. Do you know someone do not know Jesus? Is your parents in the church? Is your children in the church? Is your friend in the church? Have they accepted Jesus? And if you thought about that eternal death and eternal life, I bet you every single night and day you pray and witness to them until they accept Jesus. Jesus wants us to experience that because he wants us to be a really true disciple. Reward is great for those who accept him. And he do everything. He have done everything. Nothing left. Nothing else that he could do for mankind. But he gives the power of the Holy Spirit to go out every highway and byway, to sow the seed of truth everywhere, and to the whole world know about Jesus. Yes, God called you to go to the whole world. Maybe you feel like just like the 12 disciples say, Jesus, we're here, we're in Jerusalem, go the whole world. Anyway, we don't have a plane or a car or anything. How can we go the whole world? God can do the impossible thing. And he will use you and I to finish the work. Because that is the mark of true disciples. Shall we pray? Oh, Jesus. Oh, God. You have called faithful disciples through generations. At the end of time, you also call us as your disciple. And you have shown us the mark of the true disciple, and the reward has come with it. The reward that I and the church will receive, the joy to see another person to be saved in your kingdom. Lord, you give us a challenge, a great challenge, that in our mind is impossible, but with you, everything is possible. I know the later rain is going to pour out. It's a great miracle. A great many, many people will do great things for you because your Holy Spirit, we want to finish this work. And I'm glad you allow us to participate in these soul winning so we can see many people saved in thy kingdom. May you bless each one of us. May you touch us with your Holy Spirit every single day that we can be your true disciple. Follow you everywhere you go, we follow. Everywhere, include, go upon the cross, that we die to self, that we may be safe in heaven. I don't know what trial and temptation might have come upon each member here, but I know you will be with us every single way. That you will never give us more temptation that we can handle. May we endure and try harder for you, that we can see a great light at the end of the tunnel, that Jesus come here and say, you, our faithful servant, come. Come, that I have prepared a place for you. Oh Lord, I want to hear that saying to me and to every single church member, come, come, enjoy the heaven that God have created for us. May God bless this church, help us to endure and continue evangelize until you're coming back. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.